All right, brethren, let's turn now to Isaiah chapter 51. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 51. We see the craziness going on in this world, and we hear the news, and we read the papers, and we become fearful in our hearts, and so we pray to the Lord. I get up Sunday mornings and I'm finishing up, looking over my notes and things, and I pray to the Lord. Usually I pray on the way over here, on the ride over. Then I get here and we have the men's meeting in the back. We pray in the back. Get up here to preach, and we pray two times in the first hour, and we pray two, three more times in the second hour. I go home. I thank the Lord for giving the message and for pray He'll bless it then. And we just continually pray. And a believer lives in a life of continual prayer. Wouldn't it be good if we could hear the Lord answer our prayer? We could hear Him answer us. Well, that's what we can do today, right here in our message. We can hear Him in our text. We can hear the Lord answer. That's what the title is, Prayer Answered. Remember last time we saw the prayer of the saints here. Now we're going to hear the answer. Today this is our mediator, Christ. He's taking it to the Father, our prayer to the Father, and then He's returning the prayer and answering it to us now. Here He is speaking to us. He's answering us. First of all, this will be our divisions. We see our Savior reminds us that God's our comforter and He's our creator. Look at verse 12, Isaiah 51:12. I am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, and that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where's the fury of the oppressor? And secondly, our Savior reminds us God is the Lord of hosts. Verse 14, he says, the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I'm the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And then thirdly, our Savior reminds us His purpose in all things is our salvation. Verse 16, and I've put My words in thy mouth, and I've covered thee in the shadow of Mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art My people. Now that's the answer to that prayer that we saw last time in Isaiah 51. There's prayer answered. The answer Christ gives from the Father into our hearts is to correct us and to remind us that His very purpose for creating this world and for everything that comes to pass in it is our everlasting salvation. First of all, we see here Christ, our mediator, reminds us that God is our comforter. He's our all-powerful creator. Verse 12, He says, I am He that comforteth you. Christ is our comforter, and He reminds us, He comforts us by consoling us with His consolation that God's our comforter. He's our creator. He reminds us God shall continue to comfort us. Back up there in verse 3, He said, the Lord shall comfort Zion. The Lord shall comfort Zion. He'll comfort all her waste places. The Lord will do that. Over in Isaiah 66:13, He says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And He comforts us. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He comforts us for a reason. Look over there. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4. Verse 3, he's called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And then he says, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That's what he does it so we can console our brethren. He promised us, brethren, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will comfort you. I'll come to you. So be comforters one of another. That's what we're to do for one another. The preacher has a commission from the Lord. In Isaiah 41, he said, comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Tell her that her warfare is accomplished, that the Lord has rewarded her double for all her iniquity. So we're to comfort one another. And I'll tell you this, when you comfort your brethren, as you comfort your brethren, the Lord comforts you. It gives you great comfort to hear yourself saying the words of comfort. Will comfort your own heart too. He comforts you. So the Lord then asks us a question. He's going to correct us some too now. We've prayed and asked him, then he comes and he corrects us. This is what he speaks in our heart. This is what he does, not audibly, but what he does in our heart. He says there in verse 12, who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? Man's not one to fear. Man's not one to fear. Look at Isaiah 40. Look over there, Isaiah chapter 40. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Isaiah 40, verse 6. What shall I cry? He said, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Back over there in Isaiah 51 and verse 7, he said, after he declared to us that his gospel is going to go forth, and as long as he's got a people in the earth, he's going to hold his people and keep his people so that gospel can go forth. And after he declared that, he said this in verse 7, Isaiah 51, 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and a worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. What are some ways that you and I fear man? Or some ways we fear man? You take a young believer, they're out with a group of friends, and the group wants to do something that's not honoring to that believer's Savior. But you become fearful that if you speak up, say, stop the car, I want to get out. Or if you say, I don't want to do this. Or if you say, let me call home and have somebody come get me. You become fearful because you're afraid of what they're going to say about you. That's fear in man. That's fear in man. The Lord says, who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? You're the Lord's people. The Lord is your God and your comforter and your keeper. He said, why are you fearing a man? Somebody, you're sitting at work with your coworkers and you're eating lunch, and maybe the boss comes in or something, and he's sitting there and he says something that's not right. He says something that's blasphemous against your God, but you fear to speak up and say something because you're fearful that, well, this is going to hurt me and my job. It's going to hurt my relationship here with my boss. That's fear in man. The Lord said, who? He said, who are you? Who are you that you should fear a man? Say somebody comes and they hear the gospel and they sit and they hear for a while and they know they're hearing the truth. But to somebody else in the family, they don't like it. Somebody else in the family, they don't come and they say, I'm not going there. So that person stops coming too. That's fearing a man. That's fearing a man. Maybe it's something worse than that. Maybe it's something more fierce than that. One time some men took Peter and John. They threw them in prison and they commanded them. They said, don't speak in his name anymore. Peter and John said, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than God, you judge. Well, we can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. We have to speak the truth. And our Lord's telling us here, who are you? Who are you that you should fear a man? Those days are coming again, you know. The days whenever the church is going to be persecuted. I've showed you this before. Tried to show you last time that it's always the pattern is bondage before deliverance. Bondage before deliverance. Pharaoh bound Israel before God came and delivered them out of that bondage. And then here, Babylon bound Israel before the Lord came and delivered them out of that bondage. And then you had the elect bound in Jerusalem, and the Lord came and delivered them out in person. So it's always the pattern, bondage then deliverance, and it's coming. The Lord has said, He said clearly in His Word that perilous times shall come. And before He returns, times are going to get bad. This church is going to be persecuted. We've never borne persecution. We don't know what that's like. But it's coming. That time is coming. Now, you can see it. You can just almost see it now in the laws and things that's being passed. That day's coming. And those that don't have root in themselves now to stand with us surely won't stand with us then. When there's true persecution in this earth, they won't then. What are we going to do when things get worse and worse and worse? What do we do when men reproach us and revile us? What do we do when that happens? Cling to Christ. Hug up close to Christ. We watched this Nature Channel the other day, and there was a helicopter, and they were filming from up in a helicopter looking down, and they were filming some buffalo. That was the subject they were filming. And these wolves would come up, and they would chase these buffalo. And the buffalo would just take off running. And the buffalo would have these little newborns, you know, that just couldn't get around very good, couldn't run very fast. And these wolves just run them. They just run them across these prairies until they can just tire them down, you know, and get that little calf separated from its mother. And that calf would just hug right up, I mean, get up to where she's touching that mother buffalo. And you'd see them, they'd run through some trees, and you'd lose sight of them, and you'd think, well, I bet that wolf got them when they got in those trees. And then they'd come out the other side of those trees, that little calf still be just, she'd just be up tight on that mother. And they'd get them and circle them, you know, and they'd get to nipping at their heels and things, and the mother would be going after the wolves, you know, and every way she'd turn, that little calf would turn with her and just stay right up against her. That's how we're going to be protected from the wolf. Stay up, cling to Christ, cling to Him, cling with His people, under His gospel, in His Word, cling to Him in prayer. Christ reminds us not only is God our comforter, He says here, but our Savior is God, our all-powerful Creator. That's why we cling to Him. Look at verse 13. He said, "Why do you fear man?" And then He says to us, "And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that stretched forth the heavens, that laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, and as if He were ready to destroy." And where's the fury of the oppressor? Where's He going to get that power to destroy you, He's saying? Our Maker stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundations of the earth. I've read that to you in Isaiah 40 where it says that He meted out heaven with a span. And I've told you that's the span is from your tip of your finger right here to the tip of your thumb. And you take that little, you take your computer and you open that window, you know, like that. And you just span like that and you open that window. That's how the Lord created. He just did like that and it opened up. He just spread it out. That's a big hand. That's a mighty hand, a mighty powerful hand. It says He stretched out heavens as a curtain. Just like that. He just stretched them out, spread them out, and made them like a tent for us to dwell in, like raising up a tent in your backyard where you can just get in it. That's how He just made everything. That's our God. That's who He is. And He said, the inhabitants of the earth to Him are grasshoppers. They're not no reason to be feared. He made everything for Himself. He even made the wicked for the day of evil. He made them. There had to be, we just saw early in the first hour, He said, "I raised you up, Pharaoh, for this very purpose. I raised you up to show my power, to show, make my name known to my people." So He created the wicked for the day of evil, even the oppressor. So He asked us, He said, "Why are you fearing continually because of the fury of the oppressor, as if He's got power to destroy you, as if He's going to be able to do anything to you? Where's the fury of the oppressor?" He said, "Where's Pharaoh?" He dumped him in the sea. Where's the king of Babylon? He put him down. Where's the Pharisee? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? He's put them down. He's made them nothing. Look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Just like he spread out that heaven and that earth, and just like he laid the foundation of this earth, that's what he's done by his redemption. That's what he's done by his blood. He's created the new heavens and the new earth by his blood, by his redemption. That's what he's doing. But look here in Isaiah 54, look at verse 5. He says, "Thy maker is thine husband. Thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called." That's who our Redeemer is, brethren. Just our Redeemer, our Maker is our husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. When it says Lord of hosts, it means he controls everything. The hosts of armies, the hosts of, like he called the flies that in Egypt, and they just came. He called locusts, and they just came. He's the Lord of hosts of everything. Now look down at verse 16. He said, look at the end there. I have created the waster to destroy. Does that scare you that he created the waster, the one that's doing the wasting and doing the destroying? He made him. He said, I made him. But should that scare me and you who are his people? No, look at the next verse. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage, this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You see, he's going to protect his people. We vainly imagine. This is what we think. This is why we don't speak up when we have opportunity to, when we're speaking to somebody who's in charge or who's a ruler or something like that. We vainly imagine that our judgment is in their hand. We imagine that our judgment's in their hand. So we don't speak of the one in whose judgment we really, in whose hand we really are. We don't speak of him because we're fearing this little man who we think our judgment's in his hand. Listen to Proverbs 29:26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment comes from the Lord. Every man. You see, speaking the truth's always better. The Lord just might bust his heart wide open. And the Lord might just call him by his grace. And the man thank you and say, that's the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for speaking the truth to me. Be not afraid of them that kill the body and after have no more than they can do, but I'll forewarn you of who you shall fear. Fear him which after he's killed hath power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him. That's what the Lord said. He's talking about God. Fear God. So, you know, this is true. You that have never cast your care into the hand of my Lord and in the hand of my Savior, you listen to me just a minute. You know why you haven't? You fear men. You fear men. You fear what men are going to say. That's one of the reasons, but that's true. You fear men. You fear what men are going to say. You're afraid that your friends or your family or somebody like that's going to revile you and reproach you, and they will. But the Lord says, "Who are you to fear man? You take some man; he's up in years, and his mother's up in years, and he believes the Lord, but he won't confess her in baptism because he's afraid he's going to offend his mama. He's going to offend her." If you believe the Lord, don't fear men. Confess him. Confess him publicly in baptism. It may be the Lord uses your public stand with Christ to help that loved one and to speak into their heart. It may be. All right, that's the first thing he does. He comforts us and he corrects us. He comforts us and corrects us. Then secondly, Christ our Savior reminds us that our God's the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 14. He says, the captive exile, that's what we are. We get into captivity. He hasteneth that he may be loosed. He's anxious to be loosed and be freed, that he should not die in the pit, in the prison, nor that his bread should fail, that he starve to death. But I'm the Lord thy God, he said, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. you take a man, he gets into captivity. He comes into captivity. And this is how we come forth. We come into this world captives, like I told you this morning. You sinners sitting here now, you're captive. You're in bondage. You're under the power of the prince of the air. You're in bondage. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whose minds have been blinded by the God of this world. You're in prison. You're in captivity. You're in a pit. You're without God, you're without Christ, and you're without hope in this world. That's where you're sitting now. And you and I as believers, we get in captivity too. We come last night driving home, I just had this worst fit of just fear come over me. I started talking to Melinda. I just told her how I just feel like a complete and utter hypocrite to try to speak in God's name. And we get that way. But here's the problem is when we get that way, when we see something about our sin, and we start trying to hasten to deliver ourselves, we start trying to hasten to make sure that we don't die in the pit, to make sure that we can provide bread for ourselves, and we try to save ourselves, that's worse. That's a worse condition. That's a worse bondage. And he says to us here, "But I'm the Lord thy God. I'm the one who divided the sea. I'm the one whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name." That's what he said. You who've been born of the Spirit of God, he says here, "I'm the Lord thy God." I'm the Lord thy God. That's what he said. I'm the Lord thy God. And some of you sitting here who never believed on him, it might just be today that he's speaking into your heart. He's telling you, "I'm the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God. I'm your God," he said. That's what he's saying. And he's the only one that can save. He's telling us he's the only one that can save. We cannot save ourselves. It does no good to put our hand to the work and try to save ourselves, to try to reform our lives and make things better. We can worry and fret and go around and be frowning all the time and worried that we're going to just fall off the face of the planet. It won't do any good. It won't do any good. We got no power in ourselves to save ourselves whatsoever. None. None. But he has all power. He's the Lord of hosts. Christ Jesus came into this world and he walked this earth and he fulfilled all righteousness for his people. He came, just like he said, "I raised Pharaoh up for this purpose." God raised him up for that purpose. He raised Christ up in the earth and raised him up to show us, "Here's my righteousness, here's my love, here's my justice, here's my long-suffering, here's my forgiveness, here's who I am," God said. And Christ walked this earth and he fulfilled everything. He's that husband that came down, our maker, our husband that came down, and he fulfilled everything for us. He built the house. He provided all the furniture in the house. He filled the cabinets with dishes. He made sure that our bank account was full. He made sure everything was done for us. And he calls us then. He comes and he gets us and he brings us home and he shows us, "I've done everything for you. I went to the cross and I laid down my life, and by my blood I completely purged away all of your sin." He comes to you and he tells you, "By my life I've completely fulfilled all righteousness for you. By my blood I've put away all your sin. I've justified you completely. I've made you a living stone in my house. I've made you a branch in me who is divine." He comes to you and he says, I've made you one with me and one with our Father. And he says to you now, "Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't. I'm the one who bore the waves of God's justice, and I've divided the sea for you. I've divided your sins as far as the east is from the west. I've divided you from death by dying the death that you owed. And I've condemned death. Completely condemned it." And he comes to you and he says, "Now it's done." And he says, "Now my bride, whom I love, whom I've loved everlastingly," he says, "don't fret, don't worry, don't get yourself beside yourself thinking that something's in your hand to provide for you." He says, "I'm providing everything for you. I'm a faithful husband to you. And I'm the Lord of hosts. I have power over everything that moves and everything that don't move. I got power over everything in heaven and everything in earth. I got power in things in the light and in darkness. I got power over things you see and things you can't see. I got power over all. I can turn the king's heart whithersoever I will. That's what he speaks into our hearts. And he tells you now, don't be afraid. He says, I've spoiled principalities and powers. I've made a show of them openly, triumphing over in everything I did over them. That's why they were made, to make my name and my power known in the earth and who I am. And he says, you see that one standing before you that's got you so worried and got you so scared and got you so cast down in yourself that you think that you just don't know what's going to happen? He said, I set that one up in front of you and I brought you right here to the place that you are so that this giant mountain is in front of you and you can't get through it. Just so I can show you my name and my power. Just so I can bring that mountain down to a plain and just make a way right for you to go through it. That's what he says to us, brethren. He says to us, the king of Babylon said it, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This is our Redeemer. This is our God. This is our Savior. This is the one who created this world for this one purpose, to tell you that. You who are his, that's why he did it. He did it to come to us and tell us this and show us this. You're a sinner or you're a saint, whichever one. Don't look to any other. Don't look to anybody else. The largest, most ferocious, most furious oppressor in this earth is a little bitty ant in the hand of our God and our Redeemer. He says, look to me. I'm the Lord of hosts. That's what he said. Now this is what happens. We get into this fear, and he says, now call me. Call on me. I'm going to be inquired of to help you. And so we call on him, just like they did here. They said, come, Lord, and make your power known as in days of old. And so he doesn't do something that everybody sees. He doesn't do something that makes everybody just stop all of a sudden and look and think, you're somebody special. The kingdom of God comes without observation of this world. But he speaks into the heart, and he speaks real into the heart. And I could tell you, you could be in the most tranquil place with the bluebird sky and just flowers blooming and bees a buzzing and everything just be perfect. And be so shaken and terrified and afraid in your heart if he removes his presence from you. And just the opposite. You can be in the middle of a hailstorm with dark, complete darkness and thunder coming down upon you and armies gathered around you and everything that could possibly look wrong. And you have the most peace in your heart because he's spoken into your heart and said, this is all in my hand. That's what I'm talking about. If you don't have this anchor, you just toss to and fro all the time. If you don't have this one who is the Lord of hosts, who's showing you what he's doing in this earth, you don't have this. And you don't have this anchor. You don't have this stability. You don't have this good hope that's entered in before you, where the forerunners entered for us who believe and is set down at the right hand of the Father and is doing all this. If you don't trust him and you don't have him working in your heart, speaking peace in your heart, you have nothing. I don't care what you get. I don't care what you can carve out in this world. I don't care how you wage war and live by the sword in this life till you can get everything you can get. Without Christ, you have nothing. Nothing. And your life's useless. It's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. All you're doing is using God's air and God's space and God's resources and abusing them. That's it. Without God, without Christ, without hope in the world. But the believer has everything. The Lord of hosts. He's our God, our Savior. Here's the third thing he shows us. Christ our Savior reminds us that the purpose for which he's done all things is our salvation. Verse 16, I put my words in thy mouth, and I've covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Now you get the gist of that. Get what he's saying there. He's saying, I've put my words in your mouth. I've taught you the gospel. I've come to you and I've given you life and I've regenerated you. My spirit's entered in. I've put my words in your mouth. Just like when the Redeemer walked here, God the Father put his words in the Redeemer's mouth. He poured out his spirit upon him without measure so that he was unlike any of his fellows. And he's done the same thing for his people. He's not to that degree, but he's poured out his spirit in our hearts and he's put his words in our mouth. And he says, I've covered you in the shadow of my hand. I've got you completely held in my hand. I stand here before you right now as one in whose mouth he's put these words. I stand here before you without any power in myself, and any ability in myself, any strength in myself, any goodness in myself, any righteousness in myself whatsoever. But I stand here as one covered in the shadow of his hand. And I'm telling you, the purpose for which he gives us the words of eternal life and the purpose for which he covers us in the shadow of his hand is this. He does it that he says that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, thou art my people. What does that mean? I thought it said he'd already created the heavens and the earth and the foundations. Not this heaven and this earth and these foundations. When he comes and he plants his words in the mouth of one of his children and he plants his gospel in our heart, he's planting that new heaven and that new earth. When he comes and he takes us from off that sinking sand that we've been putting confidence in and sinking down in, and he sets our feet and he lays us flat down on the foundation, that one foundation, Christ Jesus, he's laying the foundation for that new heavens and that new earth. So that one day he'll stand there face to face to us, looking face to face to us, and he'll say unto Zion, I told you you're my people. Didn't I? That's why he's doing all this, so that face to face one day, we're going to stand before our God, this one that's speaking to us, in that new heavens and that new earth, and he's going to say to us face to face, you are my people. Look at you, perfectly righteous. Look at you without a spot in you. Look at you with no blame whatsoever. You've never done anything ever but perfect righteousness and been perfectly holy and perfectly pleased me. That's all you've ever done. And we'll sit there and say, oh, glory be to your name. Oh, glory to him in the highest for what he's done. That's what you see, Zion is his people. It's not a mountain of dirt in the Middle East. Zion is his church, is his people. It's not a building of sticks and stones. His kingdom is his people. It's not a political kingdom in a sin-cursed earth. He made this heavens and this earth so that after all of that, after it came under the curse, he could come and redeem his people out of it and bring us into that new heavens, that new earth. And when he's finished doing that, this heaven and this earth, he's going to fold it up. Just like that. Say, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. It's served its purpose. This is our God we're talking about. And if you're in this heaven and this earth, and this is all you got, and that's all you're putting your confidence in, he's going to fold you up and throw you away with it. He shall not fail till he has set judgment in the earth and the isles. All his elect from among every nation in this earth shall obey his word. They're going to obey his gospel. They're going to rejoice in him, every one of them. God who preserves us is the God of absolute and unalterable purpose. And his purpose is the purpose of grace to save us from our sins into his presence. That's his purpose. Make us perfect and spotless so that we can have perfect communion with him. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is what he speaks from the heart. I gave you this illustration last week. I'm going to give it to you again. This time we'll use we'll use Art. Art's gone away. He's in a far country somewhere. One of y'all calls him up. You say, Art, Joshua, little Joshua, he's got the house locked. And he's got all the Cheryl and all the kids thrown out there in the yard. He won't let them in. They're freezing. They're cold. And there he is in the house. Got it all locked up. And he's saying that he's been watching the news. He's been talking to his friends at school. And they've been telling him how bad the world is and how bad the economy is and how bad the wars are and how bad everything is. And he's scared to death. He's worried that he won't have a roof over his head. And he's worried he won't have clothes on his back. And he's worried he's not going to have food on his table. And so he's locked the door and he said he can't let anybody in because he just can't afford to share any of this with them. He's got to hang on to it. And Art called me up. He said, "You go over there, Clay, and you give him this message." His father called. The one who loves him, he called me, and he said, "Go over there and tell him this." And I go over there, and I say, "Joshua, here's what your father said. Your father said for me to tell you that he loves you, and you're his son. And that that house that you're in is his house. That furniture in that house is his furniture. That ground it's sitting on is his ground. Everything there is his. And he told me to tell you, don't worry. Don't even fret. Don't have any worry in your mind. He's going to keep you clothed, and he's going to keep a roof over your head, and he's going to keep food on your table, so you don't even have to give that a second thought. You do not have to worry about it whatsoever." And that's what God, our Father, has done. Some of you's been praying to him. Some of you's been speaking to him. Some of you's been saying, "Father, my brother's so scared. He's so worried about. He's been listening to the news and he's been talking to his friends and he's been hearing all about the trial, the wars and the economy and everything in this world. And he's worried about his job and he's so fretful. Would you comfort him? He's got himself all locked up and he's not able to love his brethren, not able to do anything. He's just frozen. He's just locked up. Would you help him, Lord?" And the Lord sends a message to his preacher, and he says, "You go tell him this. You go there and you tell him what I've told you. Tell him he's my son. I bought him with my blood. Tell him his house is my house. Everything in it's mine. The ground it's sitting on's mine, and he's mine. Tell him the world's mine, everything in it's mine. And tell him as long as he's in that world, I'm going to keep clothes on his back. I'm going to keep food on his table. I'm going to keep a roof over his head. Tell him he's mine." And so I come forth and I preach this to you. And it'll take God answering those prayers, speaking into your heart, and tell you just what we've been looking at today. Why are you fearing, man? I'm your Father. I'm the Lord of hosts. I'm your comforter. I'm your redeemer. I got everything in under my hand, and I'm going to keep you and bring you to myself. That's what he's saying. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Fear not, man. Fear the Lord. Cast all your care into his hand and just rest in him." Amen.